The Thursday, April 22nd, 2004, meeting of the Boulder County Board of County Commissioners will come to order. Present are Commissioners Mayor Stewart and Danish. The business before us is brought by the Clerk and Recorder's Office. It is a public hearing on the bid award recommendation for the new voting system. Madam Clerk.
I'd like to defer to Tom Halicki, the Elections Manager.
Okay. Mr. Halicki.
Good morning. I'm Tom Halicki, Elections Manager for Boulder County. It's an honor to be before you here this morning. We're here to present you with a contract for your consideration for a new vote tabulation system with Hart InterCivic. Also accompanying me here today are Linda Salas, Boulder County Clerk and Recorder, Nancy Jo Wuerl, the Chief Deputy Clerk, and Mike Harland, IT Manager for Boulder County. And we also have, if there's any more technical questions, some representatives from Hart InterCivic, Andrew Wright, who would be the project manager on the install, Victor Babbitt of the technical staff, and Scott Flam with their Austin office. If there are some technical questions of the county IT staff, I've been informed that Mike Harland has to leave at around 9:30, quarter to 10, so we might want to defer to him at some point. I'm here to talk to you about how we got to this point, the cost of the system that we are recommending, and the reasons for our recommendation, and I'm prepared to discuss those in as much detail or as little detail as you'd like. Some background: this is a culmination of a process that began in the spring of last year when Boulder County issued an RFP for a new vote tabulation system. At that time, the county had anticipated replacing the failing data vote system, punch card system, with a direct record electronic or DRE voting system, typically referred to as a touchscreen system, though there are other types out there. That system was going to be supplemented with a paper-based voting system to handle absentee voting in the county. Last December, we made the decision to postpone any consideration of purchasing DREs, and we made this decision for three basic reasons. One was a delay in establishing the Election Assistance Commission, which was responsible for promulgating standards for DREs. Second was a preference for paper ballots amongst the county commissioners, which we recognized. And the third was repeated concerns about DREs resulting in declining voter confidence in those systems. That decision was subsequently validated by Secretary of State Donetta Davidson, who has subsequently prohibited the lease, purchase, or acquisition of DREs pending the EAC's promulgation of standards for DREs. However, we are moving ahead with the purchase of the paper-based system, albeit one with the capacity to handle all the votes in the county, not just absentees. Regarding cost, the total cost of the contract is $1,754,318. We can break that down into three basic parts. $1,365,270 are for hardware, software, custom programming, and service support from Hart InterCivic. Another $160,850 of additional purchases by the county for three basic things. Hardware that's required for the new voting system that the county can purchase for cheaper by itself, a copier printer that will allow us to print ballots in-house, and a combination electric lift, forklift to move and store elections and other materials in our storage facility behind the clerk's building. There's also a 15% contingency fee of $228,198.
Why?
The reason for that, we would have suggested that would be a prudent thing to put in.
Suggested by?
By Mike Harland, the IT manager. Because federal law requires us to replace our data vote punch card system, Congress has provided approximately $3,192 per eligible precinct in the county. We have 249 eligible precincts to replace. And so we anticipate receiving $794,808 from the federal government via the Secretary of State's office to offset some of our costs.
And how certain are we of that?
We are certain.
Okay.
It's been appropriated. The county's net outlay would then be $959,510. Our basis for recommending ballot now is based on a memo that should be in your materials that we sent in January to Jenny Olberding of Purchasing. We noted several reasons that we were going to recommend ballot now. One is that its ballot on demand system will reduce ballot printing costs for us and provide flexibility in issuing replacement and absentee ballots. Its digital imaging capability will create a digital record in addition to a paper record, which is the official record of the election.
Which one is?
The paper record.
The paper record. The official record of the election.
The digital imaging also eliminates problems commonly found with traditional optical scan systems, such as shrinkage, bleeding, variations in the calibration of machines. On-screen resolution of ballot problems, such as overvotes, undervotes, or questions of voter intent, is simpler, faster, and more public, which is important, while creating a detailed audit trail. There's time and money savings for eliminated in having to create duplicate ballots, which you'd have to do with a traditional optical scan system. The system also employs off-the-shelf components such as computers, printers, and scanners. And HART is located in Boulder County, which will help the county's economy and assure rapid technical assistance and give HART employees a major stake in ensuring election success. And finally, I think we're just impressed with HART staff, their service orientation, and their products. Following the January presentation to the county commissioners, the clerk staff was instructed to go to Orange County and observe ballot now in action, counting absentee ballots for their March primaries, which the staff did in late February. I provided a summary of that trip to you in a memo dated March 2nd, and I have copies here for the record in case you don't have any with you right now.
Would you summarize that for the people who are present?
Well, covers a lot of technical detail, but essentially what I did was, just to cut to the chase, I asked Steve Roderman, who was the Orange County Registrar of Voters, what he thought of the system, whether there are any issues that we could learn about in advance that he found was a flaw in the system. Basically, he had high praise for the system. He only had two comments. One was, use 70-pound paper and make sure it's vertically grained. Everything else, all the other problems that he had, were pretty much specific to California election law. I also noted in my March 2nd memo to you that Orange County has approximately twice as many permanent absentee voters as Boulder County has registered voters, which should give some comfort in the capacity of the system to deal with Boulder County's cast ballots. In addition, we've contacted Arapahoe County, which uses Ballot Now, about their experiences with the system, and I'm submitting their written response to us also for the record. And that pretty much concludes my presentation, and I have with us here Mr. Drew Durham of the Secretary of State's office. I would ask that you allow Mr. Durham to offer some remarks, and we'll be pleased to answer any questions that you might have.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Drew Durham. I'm the Help America Vote Act Director for the state of Colorado, and I work for the Secretary of State's office. I want to report to you that consistently throughout this project that Boulder County has been going through, that we have been consulted with. In fact, I've shared what I call my best contract and have talked to legal counsel as well as the staff of the county clerk and recorder's office on these issues. In response to your question about how certain are we about the funding, we're very certain. One of the problems that we had was the Elections Assistance Commission was not put in place until December of last year. And so they haven't had a lot of time in which to react to this. But our state plans have been registered or published in the Federal Register pursuant to the federal law and should be, it's open for comment right now, we should be eligible to receive money based upon certification by the late May, early June. I'm here to really answer any questions that you might have to direct.
Okay. Yes, I do. Yes. The question I'm most concerned about is the issue has come up about if necessary in a very close election, Are we precluded from doing a hand count of these ballots by state law? That our understanding has been that state law states that ballots must be recounted the same way that they were initially counted, and that would be presumably by running them through an optical scan system in this case. What is the status of that?
Well, yeah, you're referring to 1-10.5-101, IFSEC. And I guess under the current law, your statement of the law is correct insofar as recounts. There is a bill, House Bill 1227, that changes somewhat how that is done. One of the things I need to remind you, though, is that this is a ballot now system, and the Secretary of State's office has rules and has had rules for ballot now on the methods of recounts. And what that issue is how we go in, which is a rule that we've adopted, which means that's what the clerk is going to follow. And what it says is that you will go into those precincts where there are issues, for example, a recount, and you can pull those images by batch, but then locate the actual paper ballots.
I'm sorry?
And locate the actual paper ballots, mm-hmm. scan those, and recount them. So there is a process, a pre-existing process, actually, already in place. The structure, the infrastructure is already there to allow for procedures in certain circumstances.
Now, since this is the system where images are being recorded, and those images can be displayed on the screen, and the judges can examine them and presumably will do so in the case of questionable ballots in an election. If an issue arises, can a precinct's image of a ballot for a particular race be brought up ballot by ballot in a recount and then tallied by hand to the satisfaction of, with several people present so that they can see that?
Commissioner, the problem that we run into on that is that we all are under an oath to follow the state laws. And there is a statute that speaks to if for any reason it becomes impracticable to count. The statutes and the regulations or the rules passed by the Secretary of State's office establish a procedure. They provide the infrastructure. And those are based upon the statutes themselves. Where it's not impracticable, or where it is, excuse me, it becomes impracticable to count, then there are alternatives. But impracticable means a lot different, has a different connotation than impractical. What you're talking about, as I understand it, is a resolution, if you will, of voter intent displayed on an image of a ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And that there is a statutory and a rule that covers how those ballots are resolved. That statute doesn't authorize us to go into a hand count in those questionable situations. So we're bound by the law.
Does statute authorize any jurisdiction in Colorado to use a hand count initially if we simply weren't buying electronic materials?
There are certain jurisdictions that very, very small rural jurisdictions that use, still use paper ballots. The question is whether or not voters are willing to wait the long period of time that it would take to do it.
I understand that. The question, I'm asking about statute now.
Oh, I'm sorry. There are provisions for paper ballots.
Would those provisions cover a county this size using paper ballots? Are the rules of the statutes of Colorado and the rules of the Secretary of State make that illegal? I would at least like to have that point on the table so that we have a factual basis for what is going to be a public hearing here in a moment, and that's the issue that's going to come up.
Mm-hmm. There's no population limits on the type of equipment, whether it's paper, electronic or electromechanical.
Okay.
It's what is obviously we're talking about voter confidence in two methods. Number one, accuracy and integrity, and the other is expediency with limitation of error.
If I might, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
In terms of a recount and voter intent, I wasn't really clear on your response. So you said that a hand recount was impossible. But can election judges, even looking at an image or a scanned ballot, determine what voter intent is, or is it simply the machine that is being run that determines voter intent?
Well, the system that Boulder County is looking at projects an image for resolution of voter intent. So you're having a human, your election judges are looking at those images to make sure that they're consistent with both statute and law as to interpretation of voter intent.
And since, as Mr. Halicki said, that the paper ballot is the official record, I assume they could check that the paper ballot is reflective of what the image is on a screen or something like that, couldn't they?
Obviously, if there's a quality issue, absolutely. Okay. Most of the images.
I mean, just to make sure that what the image is on a screen is actually what's on the official record, I assume.
Well, I think
do that.
You ask an excellent question, and I need to kind of back up a little bit. One of the things that I think we fail to understand is that both the statutes that are passed in the state of Colorado, as well as the rules of the Secretary of State's office, create an infrastructure which is kind of a two-ply safety net. If you can follow. If you follow the procedures statutorily, as well as the regulations from a rural area, then you have two layers of protection. I think people forget that there are procedures here. For example, logic and accuracy testing. You're required to run three logic and accuracy testing based upon a test deck that's marked by individuals in order to make sure. Again, I'm testing those would be projected up. The individuals who marked them would interpret them. To make sure that's correct, they would tally them to make sure that the count is correct. There are a lot of checks and balances that I think people forget about or are not aware of. So I want to encourage you to understand that it's just not a willy-nilly. There's an accounting
quite understand that. I'm just trying to get resolved some of the questions that are going to come out about process here. That if there is a recount and someone's looking at images, do the election judges there determine what voter intent is, or how is the final tally in a recount?
Well, I would encourage them to look at Rule 14.6.
What does it say?
Secretary of State's office. It says, in the case of a recount, the designated election official, this is limited to the ballot now voting system, which is the one that you're considering, shall identify all precincts with a contest or contests designated for a recount using the following procedures. A, using the ballot now scan ballots by precinct report from the original election database. They locate those batches containing any ballot type, whether it's election, absentee, provisional, for purposes of the recount. B, remove ballots from each batch and label them as recount. Remove the ballots and label them as recount. 14.8.2, required scanner testing shall be performed using a test deck from a randomly chosen precinct with at least 50 ballots, as prescribed by statute following testing procedures outlined in the state of Colorado procedures for the use of the ballot now voting system. A recount test spreadsheet shall be created based on the chosen precinct in the same fashion as the ballot options test spreadsheet. 14.8.3, ballots for the recount shall be processed following the state of Colorado procedures for use of the ballot now voting systems in conjunction with the following procedures. You open the ballot now with an unused mobile ballot box from the election and create a ballot now recount database. You create a separate database. Again, not wanting to wash over or so that there's integrity with your original election as well as the recount. You scan and resolve all recount ballots in response
but
to
what does scan and resolve mean?
Again, this system takes a paper ballot, it scans it, projects it, and it's resolved by the resolution board.
Okay, this is what I'm trying
by
to get down
beings.
To.
By human beings.
Okay,
yeah, okay,
so as I read that rule then, if you're recounting a precinct, you would you would be scanning each of the ballots that goes in there, creating a digital image which would then be projected on the screen, and the recount board could be examining those ballots that are being recounted, conceivably an entire precinct, one ballot at a time. But what they're recounting then is the digital image of the ballots that are the official record of the election. So if there would be any question, it would be in the integrity of the scanning process.
That would be correct.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. But as I read or understood what you said, that if there are any questions about whether the scanned image was a faithful reflection of the paper ballot that it was scanned from, that could be checked.
You will, there's probably some people from Hart who can answer this better than I because they're technical, but clearly whenever an election official or a judge is handling paper ballots, you're looking at the quality of the ballots that are being scanned. I think that the great part actually about the system, I'm not endorsing any system, but one of the fascinating things to me personally about the system is not only do you have the paper ballot, but you also have the scanned image. And I think when we're sitting here talking about dealing with whether you're dealing with paper or scanned image, what we're forgetting again is that there is a logic and accuracy testing required, which I referred to earlier, where people literally know how they mark their ballots. Those ballots are there at the same time that they're looking at the scanned image. And they're testing the accuracy of that equipment.
Well, I wonder if Mr. Halicki could shed some light on this.
And I'm sorry to throw Drew in the breach here. Just one quick way of looking at this is we're doing essentially the same thing we ever did. The only thing that's different is we are resolving problem ballots in a more public way using technology in the form of a digital image to change what that digital image basically says. The ballot, the paper ballot doesn't change, but in the case of, let's say, a question of voter intent, where somebody has, there's two candidates in a race, and somebody marks one person, changes their mind, and puts a no next to it, and has marked the other candidate and puts a yes next to it. In that case, using the technology, we're resolving that by basically the two election judges, just as it would be with the punch card system, instead of creating another ballot reflecting that voter's intent on that particular race and otherwise the ballot being same, they're changing basically the way that is recorded in the system. And I have Victor Babbitt with Hart Intercity.
I saw that example when when it was given, and I thought that was admirable. And and that was one of the things, frankly, which I find attractive about this system. What troubles me and what I suspect, it's a somewhat different issue that we're trying to get at here. And it's a problem in state law. It's not so much a problem with this system. And in fact, this system, I think, goes part of the way toward addressing it. And that goes to the question, I've been on the ballot personally in this county at least five times that I can think of. In that time, four of those elections were decisively decided by the voters. One of them was decided by four votes, which I lost. I asked for a recount in that election, and citing essentially the state law that we're discussing here today, the recount consisted of placing the punch cards that were the ballots in that election through the same counting machine that was there before. I was not allowed to examine any of those ballots, although I had some misgivings about whether or not there was fraud involved in the actual casting of them, that particular state law being cited. Here we have, that was 1994. We have fast forwarded 10 years. What has happened in that time is that we have had not a small election for the Colorado legislature at issue, but the presidency of the United States, and essentially a constitutional crisis 4 years ago. We would not be sitting here having that discussion if it wasn't precisely over that issue. And a good piece of that was the question of not just voter intent, but the question of whether fraud was involved in casting those sorts of ballots. And what we have at the end of the day is we're buying systems that do not reassure, but in, you know, or by law, but are buying systems which raise a different set of questions. Having said that, the fact that we have a digital image that can be examined publicly at least gives you that much of voter intent. I didn't have that much available to me, but I am not reassured by the fact that we can run test decks, for instance. Yes, that speaks to one aspect of the problem. It does not speak to all aspects of the problem. And, you know, I guess on the strength of what I know so far, I would say what we have before us today is better than what we had. But there is a huge hole that's created here, not by technology, but by law. And I find that extremely troubling, to say the least. I mean, do you want to get in a position where the presidency of the United States, for instance, is being determined in Boulder County in a very close vote, and people are being told in an election where there may be a question not of voter intent but of whether or not ballots have been cast honestly, that you can't examine the official record of the election, you have to examine only a digital image of it. That's essentially what I hear here, and that bothers me.
If I may, Commissioner Danielson, in response to your question, that's what the Help America Vote Act of 2002
thanks. Look, I was born in Chicago. That kind of help, I'm not sure I need.
I understand that also. But I guess the issue that I have, insofar as voter fraud, there is a lot of inconsistency I'll be more than happy to admit that on identification requirements, where you go from a photograph ID to a utility bill. But there are a lot of issues in there that are addressed for purposes of security of election voting systems and integrity in casting of the ballot, identifying those individuals. I agree with you that the issue has little to do with the system that you have here, but with the, if you will, the constraints of current state law. And that's why I encourage you, you know, I've made reference to House Bill 1227. If you look in
section... What is the status of House Bill 1227?
It should be up in committee. It's already passed the House. It should be up in committee in the Senate, State Affairs, next week.
What does it do?
What it does is it intensifies the certification and testing requirements at a state level of voting systems. Under the current law, if you have a NASED or National Association of State Elections Director certification by an independent testing authority at a national level, and you apply with the state of Colorado, we accept that NASED report. This will expand our ability to test and certify that equipment at a state level. We will do our own independent testing.
Does it change at all, though, the ability to count, do a recount?
It does.
With paper ballots?
It does, sir. Section 27 of that bill does amend 1-10.5-110. It states a recount of votes. This has to do with direct record, but it says that, number one, in previous, that there is required to be a permanent paper trail or record, and that recount shall be conducted using election ballot images or permanent paper records, of which the Secretary of State shall decide which method is used in each case based upon determination of which method will ensure the most accurate count, subject to judicial review.
Okay. Thank you. Further questions?
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Further questions for anybody, county staff? Any other?
Well, I guess since these questions will come up later, I'd like Mr. Halicki or anyone else in the clerk's office to address them. In terms of leasing versus purchasing, what are your reasons for purchasing the system?
Yeah, we went into that, at, I believe, in the January meeting. It was just our belief that you weren't going to get the kind of integration of a system that you would, that we really required. We leased, obviously, in the mail ballot election 2003. That created a serious integration problem between issuing ballots and getting the vote histories back into the voter registration system.
Can you explain why you wouldn't get integration with the lease system versus the...
Well, essentially it was, essentially we at some point have to commit our voter registration file to the vendor to develop ballots, print the absentee envelopes and so forth. We have to do that because of the time constraints imposed on us. In a manner that's basically unfavorable. The registration books haven't closed. We're getting address changes. We're still getting new people, and we'll get several thousand people registering, you know, up to the last minute that we have to get into the system because they are basically eligible to vote. It was just a real problem. We had a problem changing. We would get address changes for people who we've already told the vendor we need to print a ballot for and so forth and so on. And then once, and it might be a little bit different because my experience was only with the mail ballot, not with the precinct one. But we had a problem basically getting the voter registration system updated and so forth with the data that we sent out.
Now, is this a...
And it's also, it's sort of money down the hole. You're just, it's like renting as opposed to buying a house, I guess I'd say.
Well, yeah, and sometimes this depends how long you think you're going to keep a system for. What's the difference in terms of vendors? I assume you're talking about vendor support and leasing versus purchasing.
Well, you also, obviously, when you purchase, you get some commitment for service and support with them.
And you don't get that when you lease?
You do and you don't. I mean, we got sort of adequate support, but we saw some major flaws in what was provided to us by Diebold last year, I think I can safely say.
Okay. And in terms of...
It's also the...
What's the difference in cost? What would the difference in cost of the county be between leasing and...
It would entirely depend on who the individual vendor was and what sort of equipment they were. I mean, if it was in the case of, let's say, Hart uses a lot of off-the-shelf stuff, there's no incentive to provide us with the off-the-shelf stuff because they have no market for that, as opposed to what they're really providing is software that works on these off-the-shelf components. In a case of like an ESNS or a Diebold or a company that has proprietary equipment with firmware already in it and the software that runs that, then, you know, they might have, I don't know, they might have a warehouse of these devices that they can ship you and actually have you use in-house.
So you're saying with Hart, we're mainly leasing the software as opposed to...
In large part, yes. Okay. And we're not leasing it. We're basically buying our software.
What about the funds being provided by the federal government? Does it make a difference there whether you lease or buy? Or
if I may, Commissioner, the Help America Vote Act, the funding aspects of it require replacement. And I think the issue, while we haven't had a definitive ruling from D.C., I think the real issue would be that replacement would be an intent to buy, not with paying money for a lease that may expire. It's the question of dependency, accuracy, and security of systems.
So at the very least, it would be open to question whether we could access the funds if we lease the system.
There would be, there very well could be an issue, yes, sir.
Okay. Thanks, Tom, I appreciate it.
Further questions?
This matter was set for public hearing. We'll take testimony from the public. The official record of this meeting is a tape recording, so we will need anyone who testifies to speak from the podium and identify themselves by name and address. We had a sign-up sheet. We will go through the names on the sign-up sheet first, then we will take testimony from anyone else in the room who wishes to speak. And with that, I'll open the public hearing. Al Kolwitz of Camber will be first.
Good morning. Back again. Am I online?
Yeah.
Great. My name is Al Kolwitz. I live at 2867 Tin Cup Circle. I've been in Boulder since 1966, and I've been very concerned about our election system in Boulder County for the last 5 years. The governor of New Hampshire said something to the effect that the cost of providing a trustworthy election is far less than the cost of recovering public trust once it's lost. We believe that the decision you're about to make fits well on that admonition from the governor. The process that was used to arrive at today, quite frankly, stinks. And I've brought a gift. For the public record, I think you should know what this is for. Oh, the public in the audience, we forget about the public. These are what are known as clothespins, which applied to one's nose makes it much easier to sign documents that stink. And everybody's welcome to have one if you wish. Theatrics aside, the process to use to get here was very, very, very poor. The RFP was developed in private. The public was objected to the RFP and, in fact, successfully defended their position in front of this commission and caused the RFP's demand for DREs to be thrown away, and we got to a paper ballot for marking our votes. The RFP was not revised and reissued. The RFP did not go out and try to find the best possible paper ballot systems, but rather the RFP was kept and vendors who were in the neighborhood were allowed to bid, but nobody else with better solutions for paper ballot systems was invited to participate. The Citizens Review Committee that you've heard about, as some of you know, was somewhat of a joke. It was a steamroller trying to get at DRE equipment and did not undertake the issues around secure and trustworthy voting using paper ballots. So you can ignore that input. There was no public participation in the planning for the trip to Orange County that you all in this room as commissioners authorized in order to get the input you needed. I don't know if it was your impression, but it was the impression of much of the public that that Orange County trip was intended to go to see an actual election using the HART equipment. In fact, it was not. The trip was planned to occur before the November election and occurred before the November election. And unfortunately, missed a wonderful opportunity to find that the HART equipment failed in Orange County and was all over the newspapers. 7,000 votes lost. Did you get that in your report? The trip report was juvenile. It didn't ask any of the important questions needed to be answered in order to arrive at a trustworthy election. We proposed a verifiable alternative to the election officials in Boulder County, a verifiable alternative using existing law that allows paper ballots. They were so rude as to not even acknowledge, after multiple attempts to ensure that they understood what they had received, they didn't even acknowledge receipt of this proposal. I can tell you that what you've got in front of you was developed using a process that stinks. Let me give you another example. I don't know how carefully you listened to Mr. Durham's response to you a little while ago regarding House Bill 1227. He neglected to point out that that bill is under great pressure to be defeated. He also neglected, when he explained to you with his wand about recounting in House Bill 1227, that there were provisions for paper ballot, he slipped the words in with respect to DREs. He didn't happen to mention to you that the question you asked was not the question he answered. I object, technically, to the plan to allow anybody in the county to change my vote. And that's the system that you've been proposed. You have a system where somebody is entitled to go in, pull my ballot up, and say, he didn't mean to vote for Bush. We can change that. We'll fix it for him.
How does that differ from what would happen with a paper ballot? See, we have three people looking at your ballot and saying that.
It differs in the sense of a broader question regarding poll watchers and independent oversight. In fact, it matters none.
Okay, that's the point I'm getting at. Right. I mean, what we're here today to decide is getting a voter system. We are not sitting as the legislature to change what I think is if you want, if as long as we're talking about stinking, it isn't process here that stinks. It's a fairly obvious state law.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, are we worse off than we were with our existing equipment? Are we, if we do not purchase this system, are we, and use a different system, are we solving the problem that we are troubled by, or are we at least moving in the direction of solving that in a way that we wouldn't by making the decision that's before us? And I'd really like the testimony to focus on
exactly,
that.
Exactly. That's precisely the right way to look at the problem. And in fact, the system that we've had, the punch card counting system, has failed and would not be appropriate. And in fact, the D-Bowl system that we used last election, which was uncertified and which failed to count correctly, would not be better. But there is on the books today a system that we recommended, which would be better, and that is to literally use the paper ballot system front to back. Mark your votes on a paper ballot, count your votes on a paper ballot. And that's the system that we would like to see you adopt. Hand-counted paper ballots. The people will wait for a trustworthy result. I believe that. And I appreciate the problem.
And do you think there's 100% accuracy in paper counting of paper ballots?
The difference is that it is transparent and it is verifiable. And if it's recounted, you use a process that can use, if I may use the word, a blind recount team. I don't mean physically blind, but a team who doesn't know what the earlier results were. The way this is set up, as we understand it, the recount is very likely to come out the same way as the original count.
And is in a paper ballot system, though, is the recount that would be done by the new team that has no idea what it was, is it any more likely to be accurate than the first count?
Maybe not, but you will know it because you're comparing.
How would you know it, though?
Because you're comparing a fairly arrived at count against a fairly arrived at recount. And if they differ, you know that you have to do something else. And if they're the same.
So you count it again and maybe come up with a third number.
until you know how to do it correctly. That is correct.
Okay.
We thank you.
Thank you.
Our advice to you is to adopt the existing statutory opportunity to use the paper ballot front to back, not using intermediate equipment.
Thank you. Next person who wishes to testify is Kathy Melville.
Good morning. My name is Kitty Melville.
I'm sorry.
I live at 700 Walnut. As I talk with citizens in the community, they tell me they're exhausted. This is something new to me. I haven't heard large groups of people talk about how exhausted they are. Though it is not surprising, the world is chaotic. We are finding ourselves in the role of sentries, unable to relax our guard. Yes, Thomas Jefferson did tell us that the price we pay for liberty is constant vigilance, and it is becoming constant. Not only must we trust those that we elect, but we must trust, but we must watch every step that they make. Now we are asked additionally to trust machines. When the leaders from the industry that produces those machines tells us that those machines are not trustworthy. I have not heard anything today that inspires my trust. I got spun around this morning for a half an hour because either the commissioner's staff or the clerk's staff incorrectly listed on the agenda website where this meeting was going to be held. And this is not the first time that there has been this kind of an error around public meetings dealing with voting. When I look to you as a public official and to these individuals behind me to do their jobs, I expect a detailed understanding of the specific information that I need to know. And instead, I find people who are crossing their I's and dotting their T's. Give me a paper ballot.
Thank you. Third person who signed up is Manfred Swatch.
Manfred Schwach of 4666 Ipswich Street, Boulder County. I would say that first I would like to clarify, I have a question to clarify in my mind. Am I correct in understanding that a new system departing from the current one is required by federal law? Is that what I understand?
Yes. What happened was after the 2000 presidential election, Congress recoiled from punch card systems regardless of what those systems were, and although the one in Boulder County would not have produced the problems of hanging Chad that were such an issue in Florida, all punch card systems were declared illegal.
Okay.
Our system, in the meantime, also used early 1970s vintage computer equipment to count it. Finding parts, while not impossible, was becoming very difficult. We actually had a failure in the 2002 election, I believe it was, where one precinct had an inaccurate count. It was caught by an examination of the printout and recounted and was, in fact, recorded correctly. But the result, in the short answer is, we are required by federal law to get rid of the system we have and replace it.
Well, I appreciate the clarification. I would mention in that regard that my wife was an election judge twice. I think it was before 2002, though, in Heatherwood Elementary, and she never reported any problems, but just on the side. I would say that, first of all, having been a computer programmer for about 13 years, I know that programs are not infallible. And given the combination of what the law, present state law, seems to require and what's proposed here, I cannot say that I would have any confidence that my vote would be counted correctly. Given the combination of the two, I think it would not be wise to proceed. I don't know what all the answers are. So the gentleman from the state has certainly not convinced me. As a matter of fact, I think it was one of the muddiest explanations I've ever heard. And I think the state needs to send somebody else before a public forum to explain what the law is and what the proposed law might entail. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, if I might, just given the previous speaker, I have checked the public web agenda here. I think there may have, if there was some confusion, it was inadvertent. At the top of the webpage, it does say all meetings are held in the hearing room. Under 9 a.m., it says clerk and recorder's office. That's the people presenting, not where the location was. If there was any confusion, there was certainly inadvertent. But if you go to the top of the webpage, it says all meetings are in the commissioner's hearing room.
Well, when I saw that, and
excuse me, we'll need you at the podium. This is.
That was confusing because it says if it's going to be any place else, it'll be specified. And then when you go down to that 9 o'clock meeting and it's underlined and says clerk and recorder's office.
Yes, but for instance, underlined at 9 o'clock is clerk and recorder's office. Underlined at 11:30 is land use department. Those are the presenting
Well, we can debate it, but you can see where my confusion was.
I can see where your confusion was, and actually it's an interesting point, and I would suggest the way that we solve it, it has nothing to do with the clerk and recorder. It's the way this office prepares its agenda, and the way to solve that problem in the future is instead of listing clerk and recorder's office is to list clerk and recorder as the presenter so that there's no question, because office does imply a physical location.
Thank you.
Our next witness is Mary Eberly.
I'm Mary Eberly. I live at 1520 Crest Court in Boulder. And I have been a resident since 1965. Also, I would like to just repeat the previous person's concern about the possible misdirection of people on the website. I also was confused, but I managed to call this morning to see where exactly the meeting would be. Excuse me. Anyway, I am here to ask you to please follow the very well thought out recommendations of Al Kolitz, and he represents a number of people who have been looking into this. They're not paid to do this. They are experts in the field of computers and software, and they're not receiving any financial gain from their efforts, unlike the vendors who are making presentations to the clerk's office. This group wants a paper ballot that's voter verifiable before the ballot is cast, and also that is hand counted. And it seems very simple to me to use this process at this time. When standards are developed by NIST and are made consistent throughout the country, then our county can revisit the purchase of voting equipment that would perhaps make the counting easier for the clerk's office. and that we would also be confident in the result from. Boulder County is really lucky to have computer savvy citizens who can bring these concerns to you and request your attention be directed to the concerns. Our county really needs to lead the way in the state, because not all counties are so blessed with people in this field. And if we don't listen to our computer professionals when something this critical for the voters comes up, then people will not have confidence in election results. The example that Mr. Danish mentioned is a concern for our county, and the possibility that he also mentioned about should Boulder County be involved in a question of who the next president is. It's just an extreme concern, and I hear this from a lot of people locally. So please do not approve the contract with Hart at this time. It's just not the right time to do it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We've now reached the end of the sign-up sheet. We'll take testimony from the public, since there are not a large number of people here. Just come up when you feel moved by the Spirit and testify. We will. Hallelujah. We will need you to testify at the podium, though, and identify yourself by name and address. Anybody want to testify? Try to restrain yourself.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Neil McBurnett, 4025 Evans Drive. Thanks for having this meeting. I think these meetings are the actual gatherings here, the best part of the process that I've witnessed so far. I appreciate your good questions. Unfortunately, we're not getting written answers to them, and I would really go back to supporting the notion that the process has been very, very difficult for citizens to be informed on. Before the last meeting, we asked for information about the basis for the recommendation, and we got essentially nothing. We got a denial that there was anything written from the Elections Commission office, which is very troubling. I don't see any packet associated with this meeting. I had no notion before this meeting started that the price had apparently increased from $1.04 million, as handed out on the sheet last time in January, to $1.7 million now? Is that the number?
Yes.
I heard? Okay. I heard no even discussion of how that happened. We've got no copy of a contract. There were a lot of concerns elucidated in the last meeting about what should be in the contract. So no information for us to build a discussion on. There were questions about the security of the mobile ballot box, which at the time wasn't encrypted. We've had no information on that. On the tallying software, this is when you actually add up the votes. We've had no indication of how we have any sense that each of these individual ballots, which have been counted by the machine, how the totals are counted up. That's been evident in other jurisdictions that that's the easiest way to fix an election. You just change it. No indication that the public will have access to the intermediate results. So the process right here among us, not just the process at the state level, is very troubling. Then let me talk about a couple corrections of statements I've heard today and in the past. I think the general sense is correct. The question was asked, are we required by current law to replace our ballot system? In effect, I think your answer is right, but it's not because of current law. Boulder County can use its existing election equipment for this election. There is a requirement for future elections to replace it. The reason we're not going to do it is that the equipment is old and broken and not supported, and I think that's a result of us not having well, it lasted for a long time, so that was pretty good equipment. At the last meeting, there was repeated statements by the vendor and supported by our elections division that the Election Assistance Commission was only looking at digital recording equipment standards. They weren't looking at all the other things that the citizens have been making strong requests for improvement in. Well, I met, I was in NIST last week in Washington. I met with the person that's running NIST's standards group. He made it very clear to me that, yes, the vendors didn't want us to think that things beyond DREs were being considered, but that NIST was going to do a thorough job of looking at all aspects of how to run an effective election. So it's troubling to me that we don't have people in our own employ here that are focused more on the broad question of how to have verifiable, trustable, trustworthy elections. And now we hear today that, and we've heard this before, although, frankly, it's very hard for me to deal with all of these Colorado laws on how we count our votes, but I hear today that if we use the Ballot Now system, specifically Ballot Now, our hands are tied in terms of access to paper ballots, which it's really astonishing to hear that. I don't know the process by which that got written in. I don't know. I haven't had as much time as I'd like to follow all of these details, but that's very troubling. And just on the face of it, that would tell me we ought to say to the people selling that system that they didn't get a good law passed on how to validate it because it looks inadequate to us and ties our hands, despite other nice things that I like about the system. So that's extraordinarily troubling. My bottom line request, I'm not one that looks forward to hand counting of hundreds of thousands of ballots that are very complex. What I want to do is have something that is not cannot be anticipated by the hackers or the vendors or the agents from other countries that would want to hack our elections. I want us to have a system that we can, not with the upfront testing of logic and accuracy test. As a programmer, I hope you all are, I'm aware, and I hope you're aware that that's a completely inadequate way to get faith in a piece of equipment. You have to be able to take the results of the equipment and randomly pull out the paper ballots that correspond to the recorded indications that it has and look at them yourself and just make sure that the image was recorded accurately. It wasn't just copied from some other random image that seemed similar, that the paper hasn't been altered, that that you have the ability to actually look at the whole process and track it through, get the intermediate totals, add them up independently, and so on.
Okay, let me ask you at least one question.
Please.
About that. The present system we have is essentially a punch card counting system.
Right.
The same logic and accuracy questions that could involve, you know, in that system, the most obvious place where you could get fraud would be in mistallying the votes, having a program that would simply deliberately mistally the votes and perhaps even erase itself at the end of the process. That sort of thing has been an issue, really, hasn't it? I mean, it would require an inside hack, but that sort of thing has been an issue, really, since we bought that system in 1976.
Absolutely.
I don't doubt for a second that's a problem. It would be a problem with essentially any electronic voting system we bought, including this one. How would that problem be affected with this one that wasn't affected with the one we had and had been using for 25 years?
So a couple of responses to that. First of all, our attention to this matter has been increased all around by the results of the last presidential election. Second, the previous paper counting system did not understand the ballot. There wasn't logic within the box that knew that was that hole corresponded to a Republican, that hole corresponded to a Libertarian, et cetera. So it would have been a lot harder as a practical matter to not only hack it, but know exactly how to hack it. Technology has increased dramatically. We have the tools, we have the understanding of security principles in a way that is dramatically improved now from when those systems were invented. So to say that we've been doing it wrong for a long time, so we ought to continue doing it wrong, is not an adequate analysis in my mind. We ought to say, what is the best way that this set of commissioners can help the citizens of Boulder County have confidence that the results that get pumped out of the system are accurate? And I think the only way to do that is to do independent checking of the ballots. So two other brief items. One is we've had a lot of attention focused on the recount statute, and I think that that is a third order, well, that's part of a safety net. It doesn't help you if somebody decides, well, better make sure that I move the results by more than the amount that requires a recount, because, God, they'd find out if I didn't actually steal it by a percent or two. So that doesn't help me at all. I think we need to have a system in place that randomly takes the input to the election system that I don't cast aspersions on Hart or anyone else. I just, as a technical person in, versed in security, know that it is vulnerable enough to hacking that it makes perfect sense to take the small effort that it would take to randomly look at the results and validate that the machine was giving you accurate information. So that's my final advice, along with a request again to get disclosure, full public disclosure of all the software, not under a non-disclosure agreement, so that the risks can be reduced. Thank you.
Thank you. Further testimony.
Hi, I'm Evan Ravitz, 1130 11th Street. Well, I was thinking it was going to be a dark day in Boulder. I've worn all black for the first time in my life, but I was happy to hear the questioning that you gave to our election officials. I'll, even though I haven't heard all the testimony yet, based on the previous two meetings, I think you will find again that 100% of the citizens attending these meetings do not want you to buy this kind of an electronic voting system, and that 100% of our bureaucrats want you to. I think that should tell you something. It might involve, you know, the innocent revolving door, or it might be more devious. There's no way to know, just like there's no way to know what is inside their black box that you're going to entrust our future to. Let's see. As Neil pointed out with Paul, this problem should have been solved decades ago by our elected officials, because all software counting almost all votes in the United States since the 70s has been proprietary, and thus the public's business has been done in private. There is functionally no difference between entrusting our future to Hart's black box compared to taking all the ballots in a room, locking it, and let Hart count it. And if you ask them how they counted it, they'll say, proprietary, I'm sorry. To me, it's obvious that buying a system for $1.7 million before NIST has come up with standards, which have been necessary for decades, it's just putting the cart before the horse. Hoping that the legislature will pass Bill 1227, first of all, is passing the buck. They may not pass it. We've been trying for a year, several of us in the audience, to get the legislature to do the right thing, so far without success. And Bill 1227 is vague about recounts. It says that the Secretary of State will determine whether they count the digital images or the paper, but it doesn't say how. If the Secretary invokes the current law, she'll just scan those images through whatever electronic system there is over and over and over again, as happened in Hall's 94 race. It was confusing to listen to the man from the Secretary of State's office talk about how, you know, what part of a recount would be manual and which part automatic. My understanding is that the system, the black box system, would decide here are certain ballots that are undervoted or otherwise problematic, and only those would be manually recounted by looking up at that screen. Similarly, we have an election law that says if an election is close enough, you automatically recount it. But again, it's the black box that decides if it's within what the total is, and thus if you get a recount. Similarly, if I was a candidate and had a suspicion that something wrong was going on in a certain precinct or, you know, with a certain company's electronics, I can't know that because I cannot look inside that black box. You are basically trusting our future to an unknown. And that's probably why we have the president, the wars, and all the other problems that are driving friends of mine to move out of this country now, before the election. let's see. I can only read my writing. Basically, until NIST promulgates its standards, which hopefully would preclude any use of the ridiculous operating system Windows, which lost my entire Outlook address book once, crashes during all kinds of other important work I'm doing, until NIST has its standards, and personally, if I had anything to do with their standards, the software that runs our elections has to be public software in order to do the public's business in public. And it can be done. In Australia, they now have a public open source software system, which was poured over by thousands of volunteer programmers, during which process they found hundreds of bugs, which were eliminated before we trust our future to it. Until then, let's go back to the system that Canada, Britain, Germany, and many other countries, and all countries for centuries used to hand count the paper ballots until we know what we're buying. Thanks.
Further testimony.
Hi, my name is Marty Walter. I live at 3333 Nebo Road, Boulder, Colorado, 80302. Here's just a footnote to the conversation that's taken place. As I understand it, and I read in the papers, Hart originally claimed that its system was error-free. They then did the elections in Orange County. We sent observers down there, which were there before the election. Then I read in the papers, and I also attended a distinguished lecture in the communications department at CU, where I heard the following facts: that in that election, not only were votes lost, 17% of the voters were put in the wrong precinct, and more than 100% of the voters voted. I find all of this rather disturbing. Given a system like that, I would not buy it. And I don't think anybody in the public is advocating that you buy it. And I would much prefer to see the most primitive voting system possible. I don't know, you know, it's not going to happen, I suppose. But I really do think the most primitive system is the most reliable. And as a mathematician, stochastically independent methods, I've said it before, which are outlawed by the state, are also the most sophisticated and most reliable systems that are most likely to happen. I'm most likely to get you the right intent of the public. We've already talked about that. And I'm just a citizen coming here. I appreciate the efforts of the county commissioners to have this hearing. I appreciate the efforts of the public. I think we're actually, from what I know, one of the most promising places in the country as far as eventually getting a good system. But what's going on in this country right now, I have no faith in what's going to happen in this next election. I really believe that we're going to lose our democracy. If we haven't lost our democracy already, we're going to. And how you get it back, I don't know. And as for the state, I'm very, you know, they're very concerned about standing up for state law. I'll just take this moment to mention that in the Constitution, it says that the University of Colorado is a public institution, and the president of the Senate believes that the government should have no role in education. So that he's not standing up for the. So I'm not impressed with how, you know, the selectivity of the laws that they stand up for. Thank you.
Further testimony.
My name is Paul Walmsley. I live at 1019 14th Street here in Boulder. I've asked Mr. Durham if he would respond to a question or two that I might have for him, and he said that would be up to the commissioners. May I have your approval?
I'd like to know what the question is.
The question is in regard to the transparency of the election. When I last addressed the county commissioners, one of the things that I proposed is what Marty Walter just referred to as sampling, stochastic count of the ballots. At the same time that they would be run through the optical scanner, a separate team would be counting some percentage of them to basically ensure that the optical scanner is doing its job correctly. And would it be appropriate for me to ask that question?
It would be, and I would like to, and actually that has been one of the thoughts we've had. I'd like to know the answer to that.
And I guess I should frame it a little bit more precisely, which is, as I understand it, the county clerk has asked the state whether it would be permissible under state law for that process to happen. And as I understand it, Mr. Durham replied in the negative, and I'd like him to go into more detail there.
Could you answer that, please?
I would. Thank you. My name is Drew Durham. Again, you know, we're operating under a statutory structure, and that's what we have to work with. That's our field to play. We do not pass state law. We enforce state law. And the problem is black letter law doesn't address this type of statistical analysis.
Usually in law, that which is not prohibited is permitted.
Well, I'm not. I would have to disagree in case. My personal opinion differs that in election law, the fact that it's non exclusivo, I don't think is gonna work. And that's the basis of the interpretation.
Well, I guess the question might as well go to the county clerk here, because my question would be not so much does the statistical count have to be going on at the same time as the physical count is going on, but Linda, would there be anything that would preclude after an election and an examination of the ballots that could be checked by the physical count that came out?
The problem with that is that once the election is completed and we do the counts, the ballots are locked up unless we are ordered by the court to reopen those ballot boxes. During the process, as we said, the ballots are run on the BOSS system. If there is any concerns with the ballot, if there's an overvote, whatever, it is then projected on the wall. What we do at that point in time is a very similar process to what currently happens on the punch card system, except it is a much more transparent process. Currently, if you have an overvote on the punch card system or any other optical scan system, it will kick that ballot out. What happens then, of course, is judges of opposing parties review the ballot, and then another ballot is recreated based on voter intent. The current system that we're looking at is a much more transparent process. It actually will be projected on the screen, so not only the judges will be able to see it, that all the poll watchers or any other people within the county area have the ability to see the process that's going through. And what happens is we are not altering the ballot in the sense of recreating a new ballot. We would then reconcile that ballot and just say, this is not to be counted. This one is to be counted, because a person would evidently, like they currently do on a punch card system or like on the mail ballot, they vote, then they go, oh no, they scratch it off, and we've had several who write, this is really the one I meant to vote for. And so this is, will, of course, will be a much more transparent process, because then the poll watchers will be able to see the process. When you have a table such as this, and you have judges on each side, the actual poll watcher's requirement is they are not to be within 6 feet. Well, it's very difficult, as Mr. Kolwitz has told us in the past, to see what's going on. This system would allow not only the judges, but the poll watchers and other people within the tally room to be able to see that. But once the ballots are locked away, we cannot open them unless we are court-ordered, or unless we have to have a mandatory recount. We can't just randomly open them up and decide we're going to go ahead and pull these out and check them.
Okay, so basically, once the ballot counting is finished, the ballots are locked away.
Unless there's a mandatory recount or there's a recount requested and it's paid for by the independent individual.
Now, what sort of checks are you going to be performing on the system before?
We're actually going to go through a mock election. That's one of the requirements that we're requiring, is that we will actually go through an entire election process, not as quite a large scale as a full-blown election, but we will be doing early voting at the annex sites. We will be doing the tally. We'll run our judges through the entire process to make sure that our procedures are in place, testing out all the scanning equipment, testing out the projection process, the reconciliations, and this is part of our acceptance process with the system.
Now, I think a question that would come up, if any of the software needed to be changed, would that occur after the last test of the system occurred?
I'm sorry, I guess I'm not.
Well, I mean, if any of the internal software of the voting count system had to be changed before an election.
If we found any kind of a problem with the system or the software or whatever, we would not pay until everything is corrected. The mock.
Well, that wasn't quite my question.
If
Hart comes and says that we need to patch the software in the system here, would there be a test to confirm that
we would retest the system,
okay,
of course.
That's
and if there's any changes to the software, it would need to be approved by the Secretary of State's office. They cannot just come in and randomly change their software. Any software, of course, needs to be approved by changes to the software. Hardware has to be approved by the Secretary of State's office.
And there would be retesting of the equipment to check that the patches don't have.
And as we know, when you make changes, a lot of times that change may result in changes that need to be backed up. So we would need to make tests.
Does the Secretary of State's office have access to the source code for this system?
Under current law, we do not. That access to the source code is available at the national level. We're the independent testing authorities.
So, well, if somebody were to have gotten in and messed with the source code, who is it who would be able to determine that? Hart, presumably?
The source code is escrowed per the contract. with a company, an independent company in California.
Was this, have they, do they get to examine it if there's any question? I mean, if you know, look, if I, you can escrow anything with me, I'll be more than happy to lock it in my safety deposit box. If I don't look at it, what the hell difference does it make?
If number one, the source code that will be escrowed should, well, it will mirror what was certified at a national level, which is retained in storage, if you will, or archived by the independent testing authority. If there are problems that are experienced with this, obviously, everybody's going to be pulling out the source code to try to find out what the problem is. In response, if I may, a little bit more detail, in the event that there's a new patch or a new version that comes out, it has to be certified at a national level and a state level, not just at the state level.
Okay. I'm sorry, Mr. Bumstead, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get, go ahead, but I just wanted to make sure I understand as much as possible what's being represented here.
Well, and if I might also add is that problems with the program of this system may not be detectable by looking at the source code, because somebody could alter the programming on that machine in a way that is not, does not affect the original source code of the HART system by, say, getting access to the counting, the computer that actually does the counting itself, and uploading some separate object code to that system, some separate executable code to that system, whereby it might change the results in such a way that a review of the source code would show that there that would appear to be no problems. The fundamental question, the issue here, and I hear it being brought up by many of the speakers, is one of transparency. Commissioner Stewart, you know, you mentioned the question of accuracy. You know, is hand counting, you know, if you recount, if you do several hand counts in series, you know, are you going to get the same answer each time? Well, probably not. I mean, you might, but probably not. And that's an important consideration, but if you got the same answer each time as you might with a computerized system, but you had no transparency or no insight into the way that counting process was done, and that no transparency or no insight into the way that it might be affected by other things running on that system, what good is that to have the same answer several times? I mean, that's, in essence, the core issue of these computerized counting mechanisms. The last time I was here testifying to the, or you know, commenting to the county commissioners, we mentioned this idea of doing this statistical sample, of doing a hand count of some statistically significant portion of the ballots. Now, apparently, that's not allowed by the state, although it's questionable. We don't seem to have a solid answer on that. So what I would propose is that if you do go ahead and choose to approve or go with some kind of computerized counting-based system, that we ask the county attorney or whoever would be the appropriate party to go to actually get a solid legal opinion on whether that is possible for us to do this kind of hand count. And if it is not, if in fact it is absolutely not permitted by state law, that then we should, unfortunately, we would be, should be compelled to go with the most transparent mode of counting possible, which would then be a full hand count. It's not something which I necessarily think would be a good idea, but would it be better than the alternatives at that point? And I submit to you, since it would be more transparent, then yes, it would be better. Thank you.
Thank you. Further testimony from people who haven't spoken yet?
Didn't intend to speak, but and I really appreciate you folks being here and doing the work that you do. But to err as human and to really follow things up takes a computer. And that's my concern. And I just want to say that I agree with the need for transparency. And it's not my first choice to have a paper ballot, but it seems that's the only one we can count on as well as we can. human error included. I'd rather have the human error than the computer errors. And as far as this law not allowing us to count or recount our ballots differently than they were counted in the first place, I'm really disturbed by that also. And the fact, I think that I've heard that Florida wants to adopt that same kind of law, and that makes me even more nervous. So,
could we have your name for the record?
Thank you. I'm sorry. I got nervous. I'm Doris. Doris. I must be thinking my mother. My name is Aileen Gall. I live at 623 Marine Street, Boulder. Sorry.
Thank you. Further testimony from people who haven't spoken yet? You can come up.
Always helps to have a chance to collect thoughts a little bit, so I appreciate another minute here. So one thing I didn't mention in terms of process, I'm told that the official record of this meeting is, I guess that's where the camera is. That's not very helpful to the public because there were a lot of questions asked last time that have not ended up in any nicely summarizable document action items to get questions answered by the vendor, by the elections office. So I would ask you to get more details in the very brief minutes that do come out, and particularly any action items. I'm not positive exactly what decision you're being asked to make today.
The decision we're being asked to make today is whether to purchase the Hartinger Civic System based on the paper ballot with a scanned counting system based on digitizing the image.
And does it involve approving a contract?
Yes.
About which there's been no information to the public that I'm aware of. So at our previous meeting, Linda Salas said that she had no problem with a hand count of samples. I agree with Paul that we really need to get somebody who cares about this to work with the state to find some way to do something that improves the reliability of the system. And I would propose to you that you not approve anything today, that you give the public access to the contract, to more information about the budget, and get people to come up with the best plan that they can under the constraints that we have a reliable election. So that's just what I hope you do. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else want a second bite at the apple? Okay.
Again, Evan Ravitz, 1137 Street. I did forget three small things. Projecting questionable ballots on the wall so that everyone can see them is definitely an improvement. The obvious way to do that without secret software is to use an overhead projector. Simple optics, no computer to control things. I just wanted to mention that a recent MIT and Caltech study showed that hand counting paper ballots was one of the most accurate ways of counting. And when I was testifying to one of the legislative committees in Denver a couple of months ago, Dr. Charles Corey of Colorado Springs, who has oodles of credentials, mentioned that only Colorado and Nebraska have this law that recounts have to be done by the same method of counts. And I've seen at least two news articles saying that the state of Florida is trying to become the third state with such a law. And I think Florida being the capital of election corruption, should tell you something. And that therefore, just going through the motions that thousands of other county commissioners are doing around the country is not good enough. This is a special situation in Colorado where you can talk about a paper backup, you can say the paper is official, but if a human being can't look at it, that's not the real record of the election. The record of the election is what Hartinger Civic in this case says it is. Thanks.
Colwitz.
Al Kolwitz, very briefly. Three things. Number one, I mentioned that House Bill 1227 does not resolve our problem for paper ballots. It may help with DREs. And I also mentioned that there's a significant effort to defeat 1227 in the Senate. I'll give you a copy. A letter signed by significant people in Colorado who've been working on this ballot, including Dr. Corey, our own Boulder County Citizens for Verifiable Voting, a fairly substantial group in Denver, centered but statewide, called Coloradans for Voting Integrity, and Camber, all of which are trying to point out to the legislature what is wrong with 1227. And I don't expect you to study this now. Secondly, unfortunately, you are sitting with half a deck of cards. You're being asked to approve a voting system without being presented the alternatives. I can assure you that there are transparent, secure, verifiable vote counting systems available on the market other than HART, which is not. And you have not been presented this alternative. I think that's a mistake. And finally, you have an alternative that you can use yourselves. The Colorado statutes were written a number of years ago, and all they had in mind when they were first written was paper ballots. And actually, the people that constructed the language in the statutes regarding paper ballots were pretty clever. They put in a lot of checks and balances. For example, this little device on the top of the ballot called a ballot stub, where each ballot was numbered, so that we could tell how many ballots got printed and who got which ballot. And you can actually go back and track everything that happened with a ballot. The HART system threw that away. They not only threw away the stub, they threw away the tracking. But that system still exists on the books. The system for voting with paper ballots that are issued, paper ballots that are marked, and paper ballots that are counted is a legal, workable, adoptable alternative that you have today, and it will not cost $1.7 million, and it will not use up resources that will be needed later, probably, to buy a transparent, verifiable vote counting system. And I thank you.
Thank you. We seem to be going around this. Everybody gets to bat twice for the cycle here. Mr. Walmsley.
My name is Paul Walmsley, and I guess bearing in mind that the sequel is rarely as good as the original, since many of these issues come down to legal issues, I wanted to just bring up something that has been I've been reflecting about in my mind recently, which is a principle, I understand it originally, of UK law, which informs much of our law here, which is that justice must not only be done, but must be seen to be done. That's what we're missing with these electronic systems, without some meaningful way of looking into them and seeing what they're doing and verifying them. Thank you.
Thank you. Further testimony? Yes.
My name's Lou Pulse, 2565 Kenwood in Boulder.
I just heard a proposal here today for the first time, which was that there's going to be a mock election as a test after the fact, And to me, this is in lieu of not having the NIST certification ahead of time of the decision today. But I'd like to present a challenge that this becomes a test of this system in lieu of the NIST standards before you make this decision, that we have a mock election to test such things as, is there encryption adequate to the mobile communications, for instance, between Louisville and Boulder? And the reason I think this is important is that this entire system depends on Microsoft Windows software. And the most conservative estimate by experts that I've found on how many security critical defects are in the Microsoft Windows system is at least 4,500 defects. These have not been patched. Many people know these defects and are using them constantly to make worms, viruses, and trojans, in which Microsoft in the last year finally has made a heroic effort to try to catch up on these defects. And just last week they brought out four packages that plugged 20 of these holes. Now this was a heroic effort which Microsoft has finally decided it is in their interest to do this in lieu of quite a bit of infrastructure disasters that have taken place, especially in the last year or two. But I think it was Neil mentioned there is no encryption in this system. Well, Microsoft has admitted that 15% of their source code has been made public. It was stolen and made public on the internet. And included in this 15% of their source code is their entire encryption package. Now, this mock election could test that. And there are enough talented people in this community that could test that encryption communication link to Louisville or to whatever the counting processes are. So I'd like to propose that as a challenge to the system before the decision is made that we go ahead and pay for a system which later the NIST standards may completely invalidate. Thank you.
Thank you.
Actually, if I might, Mr. Chair, Linda or Tom, for any of the remote systems, is there any electronic transmission? I mean, if we're talking about the items that have been talked about, it's things that come up in electronic transmission of the information. Is that going to occur with our voting system?
Well, I wish Mike was here to answer that, but my understanding is we have a piece of fiber that's the county's fiber between Boulder and Longmont where the remote counting would be done. That would be the only place that there would be remote counting. And my understanding is that you could use that would be used to transmit it. Alternatively, we could get the MDBs, put them in a car, and drive them down here.
Well, there's an interesting question. Would the state law regarding remote counting or saying the system must, the recount must be done the same way, require you to recount ballots, say, that were counted the first time in Louisville to be recounted in Louisville, or could they be brought to the county courthouse for that?
The statute is silent as to location, it's as to process.
Okay.
So, which would mean that it could all be done then in Boulder, the recount,
yes.
Or okay, thank you.
Okay, so at least that piece of it, if there was any question about the security of the transmission link, could be solved by physically moving them here and counting them here. You might say it would be a hand process. Okay. Further testimony? Further testimony? Going once. Going twice. We're going to close the public hearing. Madam Clerk.
I would like to just respond to two things. One of them is the issue regarding the stub Colorado statutes require that we have a stub, so our ballots will have a stub on them. Also, currently, there are standards currently in place for systems similar to HART. It is the 2002 standard, so there are standards currently in place.
Well, can I ask a couple questions? And Linda, you may want to answer them, or Tom, you may want to do it. But if this, to the extent the standards change, what is the or NIST establishes standards, what does the contract say with regard to that then?
Our contract says that their equipment has to comply with all changes to federal and state law.
Can you tell me how we did go from the million to the 1.7? I know we talked earlier. Actually, I would say that some of that is probably kind of the sense that you have had from the board that we would like more counting facilities available rather than the number you came to us with. So anyway, tell me what.
Primarily, some of it is elections related, which is the scanners. Each scanner is $55,000. Each scanner brings with it a workstation and software. But there was also, and I think your original proposal, if I'm correct, and I think only had four, we've doubled that for this program.
And those, it's not only the scanner, but what
the
else?
Scanner, it's the software.
55. And the software is?
I think every version of ballot now beyond four is $25,000.
Okay, so adding an additional scanning station is about $80,000.
Yeah, three PCs go with that too.
Okay, so maybe roughly 320 to 330,000 of the additional cost is the fact that we want more scanners so the election results can be more or made available earlier in after the close of the election rather than later.
How many ballots can a single scanner handle?
One scanner, our estimate was if you were using an 11 by 17 ballot, which was the big size to be conservative, does 2,880 per hour.
So we would be scanning with eight.
And this was based on the request by commissioners to look at additional scanners to have the return.
About 20,000 an hour, is that correct? Mm-hmm.
Eight scanners, 23,080 per hour.
Okay.
So that's about 300,000 of it. Then the contingency, I assume, was not in the original. And the contingency might or might not be spent totally at our. I don't know whether, frankly, to appropriate a contingency at this point. I almost think it's a bad message to send. And that's how much? It's 200 and some thousand, I think. So.
Yeah, I mean, and in talking with Mr. Hoffman, he said we could reduce that. He felt that you could reduce it down to 100,000. He didn't have a problem with that, but this was based on Mr. Harlan's recommendation.
So between the two of that, that's over half a million.
So what's the rest of it then?
There's also we put in a printer copier at around $45,000 to be able to print all ballots in-house, I believe Linda's mentioned to you. The desire to basically have a soup to nuts process that would not be vendor dependent in future years so that we could do the printing, the mailing, and the opening of the ballots and everything in-house.
So the expenditure of that money actually is a way then that reduces other expenditures that we would have had for the printing of the ballots?
We basically have to print ballots, and I would add that we are anticipating having a vendor print ballots this year.
Okay. Because you don't, why are we getting a copier this year then?
Well, we still have the ability to do ballot on demand.
The on-demand ballot.
Which is for like the absentee.
Right.
We'll have the initial request, but then as time goes, you'll have another large request at the end of the deadline. And so what we would like to do is not have thousands and thousands of excess ballots at the end of the election, based on the fact that we're not sure how many ballots were going to be required. And so when you go to a vendor a lot of times will have a minimum requirement. You may know there's a precinct and there's only 40 people registered or whatever in that will receive that
specific ballot style, but the vendor will require you to order 1,000 or whatever the minimum amount is. This will eliminate that excess balloting and cost.
And to continue with your line of questioning, the maintenance went up with the number of software packages we had, and also there was a, you may or may not be aware, we're doing an upgrade to the warehouse to give ourselves more storage space. This equipment's obviously going to require a certain amount of space, and it's not going to be used in non-election periods. I think as, I think part of the existing upgrade of the building for this year was $28,000, talking about putting in a partial mezzanine on one side, and we need a device to help us get materials up there and to move pallets around when we get them.
Can you tell us about, we've heard the Orange County problems with the HART system referred to a number of times. Can you respond to that?
That dealt with their East Lake system, and Vic, I'll let Vic explain the niceties of that. It sounds worse than it is.
Sure. My name is Victor Babbitt. I'm the Engineering Services Manager with HART InterCivic in Lafayette. And I was in Orange County during the election and responsible for some of the processes there. There was no issue with the ballot now. The East Lake system is a very complex election in Orange County, as I'm sure you're aware. And the question was one of poll worker training. When you were assigning access codes to voters to be able to walk up to an East Lake and get the proper ballot style, the election judges need to, on some of these precincts, there was quite a number of ballot styles that were assigned to a single precinct. They were combined precincts. So the election, the precinct worker would have to select the correct ballot style for that voter. Now, unfortunately, a number of them, whether this was a training issue, I understand, actually received some news just this morning that they had approved like an increased training budget, I think, in Orange County. Some of them honestly just went to the first thing in the list and clicked, says, oh, I'm going to give you a ballot. And so they, in those cases, the people may have received a different ballot style, meaning that they might have either had an additional race that they weren't valid to vote on, or a race that they should have been able to vote on wasn't there. And that did result in a couple of precincts, because they'd keep voting that particular precinct. So there's a couple of precincts that ended up with 105% turnout or something like that. But even in this case, you know, no ballots were lost, no votes were mistabulated, but there was definitely.
So were in any of those kind of issues, would not be a part of an election conducted here, because we would have the ballot in advance printed for the precinct and not be choosing on that day the ballot that a particular voter would get. So
yes.
Are there any?
With
there
this
any?
Caveat, and that is that if they printed ballots on demand, an error could occur, presumably, at the point of printing.
Exactly. But, and we have addressed that. There was a two-stage process that we saw. Ballot Now thinks by precinct, that's a 12-digit number. We don't want our election judges having to look up an individual voter, see that 12-digit number, go over to another computer with that 12-digit number, get that right to print the correct ballot style. Part of the custom engineering that we're asking for is that they go into the VR system, they get the individual's name, they say, issue this person a ballot, they eliminate that intermediary step, and they get the ballot.
Precisely.
Okay, so are there any other issues that occurred in Orange County other than that that we would want to consider here this morning?
I'm not aware of any.
No. Tom, under what circumstances would these on-demand ballots be printed?
We're thinking of using those for early voting.
So it's strictly in office, right?
It will be in the courthouse here. It will be in our offices. It will be in Longmont in the offices and in the Recreation facility? Louisville Recreation
Facility. Okay, and that's not going to be done in this election, is that what you're saying?
It is our intent to do it during this election and to have that all tested during the mock election.
But presumably if it's done then by personnel who are on for more than one day, an election judge is basically on for one day, and you have to have...
We have a staff, a crew of temporary employees some of whom are in our offices now who do our normal daily work on the VR system. We are going to have one of those good people at every early voting location.
Okay. So the training should be less an issue there than with the multiple judges one has to find for election day.
And I would say that when we were in Orange County, one of the issues that they had was that a lot of election judges said they were going, yes, we will be an election judge, and they just didn't show up, and they lost about 500 who were just not basically going to show up because they were uncomfortable with the areas.
Which we're not going to have, DRE. I mean,
that's
not a system we're considering
that's
today.
That's not an issue in this discussion.
Further questions for anyone here?
Linda, is there anything else you wanted to add to what the public commented on?
Well, discussion.
Well, I guess one more question I have. Tom, is there a particular reason why you want a decision today?
We're on a tight timeline as it is, just to have the mock election to accept, to say that we're signing off on what you are selling us is correct, is pushing us well into July. There's a concern on the staff's part that that's getting very close to the August 10th election. We don't want confusion between a mock election and an actual primary. If there is any problems, say, in poll worker training or anything like that, I mean, we need time to correct problems.
Okay. I guess maybe my last question goes to Linda. Linda, if we went with a hand-marked paper ballot, how would you handle such an election here?
Are you talking about a hand count?
Hand count.
Because we are hand marking the ballots, correct?
Hand marked, hand counted paper ballot.
Well, as you know from our mail ballot election, the time it took with that and we were using equipment, we would have to bring on hundreds and hundreds of additional judges because the problem with that is the number of hours. And as you know, the average age of a lot of our judges are around 74. We're asking those people to put in excruciating number of hours. If we were to do a hand count, we would have to try to find hundreds and hundreds of additional judges so that we could work in shifts. The ability to try to do that, I think, is just going to be very, very difficult for us. And as you know, I know that Superior had to do a hand count. They did, I think it was hand counting 500 ballots, was that correct?
Or Nederland.
And it took them well into 1 o'clock in the morning just to get a hand count done of 500 ballots.
How many people were involved in that?
I'm not sure.
Three election judges.
Three election judges. It took them 4 hours, essentially, 5 hours to do a hand count. How many races
on the city election that had?
It would just count.
Yeah, how many different contests were on that ballot?
I think four.
So essentially, 2,000 total votes were being counted by three people. It took, presumably, I assume they were counting and then recounting or something like that. Okay, so what that says to me is roughly you would need four people per precinct, roughly two teams, because you'd probably want one team to count, one team to recount. You would need, the number is correct, it would be hundreds and hundreds. You would be talking, we have 280 people in here, we would be talking about 1,000 people.
Well, the other question I would have is how many items are typically on the ballot?
Yeah, that would be, in fact,
we have usually, 28 different ballot styles? And on there could be
the full 6 states, like, plus all the initiatives, the local races, and any special district municipal.
The Tabor, you know, the various Tabor. I'm estimating it's on the order of 25 or so.
And it gets very, very difficult when you're running an election and you have, say, such as the Boulder City Council race, and you may have, say, 20 people running in there so to select maybe four or five people, seven people. It's very complicated.
But I'm really talking about the, you know, a general election like this, where what you'll have is all the candidates. You'll have probably judgeships up. You'll have a slew of...
And if you have any write-in candidates also.
Tabor questions. But last time I voted in Louisville, we had 8 ballots both sides. So I'm guessing we probably had 20 to 25 items that we were voting on. And to be perfectly honest, that's one of my concerns here is if you have over 100,000 voters voting on 20 or 25 items, you're talking about between 2 and 2.5 million. And this is one thing that separates us from other countries, because for better or worse, people in Colorado want to vote on virtually everything. That's a bit of an exaggeration, but we vote on a lot more here than anyone in any other
country. And we also do our elections as general elections. We are electing a president, a member of Congress, in some years a senator, in some years governor, members of the Colorado legislature, a full slate of local officials, both state and local initiatives, including anything from state constitutional amendments to tax issues, to school issues. In Britain, when they have a general election, you have essentially one race on the ballot per constituency, and that is the race for Parliament. So it's a much more manageable hand-counting system. But they do their local elections at a different time. So
I think that's really, to be honest, and I understand some of the concerns about systems, but if we had to essentially have people count, you know, probably in excess of 2 million individual items by hand, this thing would run into days, if not weeks, I think, to get it out. And I don't really have the sort of confidence, disagree with some people here, that would necessarily produce a better result with the sort of hours that would have to be put in to count the sort of balance that we have here. It's not that I'm in love with everything here, but I have to look at the alternative of hand counting, and it just looks astronomical.
Yeah, you see, this is where I have a real difficulty with state law, and which I think raises... It is state law. I mean, the question here that I'm wrestling with, and it's one which, frankly, I've been concerned about. I don't feel that the clerk's office, and I don't want that to be a reflection on you particularly or on your predecessor, has paid enough decent respect to the question of what we do and how we do it reflects on the legitimacy of the outcome and the government that results. I mean, it is entirely appropriate to worry about, you know, just the mechanical difficulties of conducting an election, because that can reflect on it too. But the issues that were discussed here, which are very important issues, are some that really require a lot of attention. And I think that state law puts a dagger at the heart of the legitimacy of outcomes in Colorado. We're not talking about every single race. If you have something that passes 2-1 or 60-40 or even 55-45, there's no question about that outcome. What you need a hand count for is that race where it's just going to be decided in single digits. And sometimes that's a pretty important race. The race in Florida was decided in triple digits and low triple digits at that. And that was the presidency for the third most populous country on the planet. And our state law essentially makes it impossible to give voters the kind of reassurance that would legitimize that office. And you know, you might want to think about some of the things we're seeing today in 2004. I think the most telling bumper sticker I've seen on cars says, "Redefeat Bush in 2004."
You know what that's doing? That's saying that election wasn't legitimate. And why wasn't it legitimate? Well, it's because of what happened in Florida. And you have a state law that says you can't really get it back. And the most obvious questions that would be involved in that. And that is a very troubling sort of thing. Well, it's, you know, and it's only a legal barrier because it, you know, the part that you wouldn't need to recount every damn vote that's cast in the, an election. You'd need to focus in on one race. You might even only have to focus in on certain precincts, and it says you can't do that now. That simply, I think to any reasonable person, it says that is unreasonable. But that is not something that's going to be a decision that's going to be changed here. And we have to take the other parts of that into account when we choose this system.
And I also think, Mr. Chair, that the Secretary of State could play a significant role in that at the legislature in getting that changed. And I don't know the extent to which she has or what she's tried or to which she's committed even to that concept. And so kind of I've been in the legislature myself, and I've watched over many years as the Clerks Association and the Secretary of State have had great sway in terms of what the law of Colorado is about elections. And I don't know, what does the Secretary of State think about that, the basic premise of that, that you should be able to use paper ballots to check if, in fact, there's a recount? Does she support this part of the law, or does she not?
The provisions that are in House Bill 1227 are uncontroversial.
No, don't,
we're not
don't
asking about that. We're asking a specific question about the statute.
And I don't know of any. I can't speak for her. I haven't discussed this issue with her. Obviously, I'll go back and report to her what your feelings are. I'm not in a position to read her mind.
No, I'm not asking you to. I'm only asking you to tell what you would know. And to let us know to what extent there may have been any discussion by her about this issue or advocacy at the legislature for having it changed. But I think it's a very, for me, actually, after the last hearing, I thought we made the decision about where we were headed in terms of a voting system. And there were two things, really, we talked about at that meeting that we felt strongly about. One of them was this part of the law, which we would like to have seen changed, so that at least if there was a recount, you had the potential to go back to the paper ballot for the purpose of looking at the recount. And then secondly, also the issue to do some sampling of the vote as it went through to just ascertain whether, in fact, the result you were getting electronically was the same as the result you were getting by the sampling. Those were the two things, at least for me, that came out of that that were important. And I'm, and all I'm saying right now, really, because you're here and you can be a messenger to the Secretary of State, is that I think we it would be great if there were some advocacy by her on this issue. So that's all I'm saying.
I appreciate that. And frankly, I think all of our goals are consistent. I think the issue happens to be about transparency of elections and voter confidence and how to get there.
Well, I think you just heard a public hearing in which the people who bothered to come, and this is a perfectly open hearing, anyone can walk down here, not one person had anything to say that was nice about this system. I'm sophisticated enough about public hearings to know that they tend to bring out the folks who are most concerned with faults in the process, and that is not necessarily the entire public. That said, I mean, it was a pretty unanimous call.
I listened very closely. I certainly did.
And it was not, I know these, most of these people, they're not stupid people.
I don't.
And they're all, there's something else. They're also some of the most civic-minded people in Boulder County.
I understand. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I think the one thing I would want to add here, though, with all the talk about Florida, quite frankly, the voting count there, or with regard to the voting system, is the least of the problems that occurred in Florida.
Yes.
People being taken off the rolls just because their name matched someone else on a felonies list. The fact that ballots that came in after the election were counted, the fact that in a partisan manner, essentially, clerk's offices were sending out sample balance. I, to be perfectly honest, those things dwarfed the problems of hanging chads and things like that. I think what I'm left with here at the end of the day is that we have the people of Boulder County elect a clerk, and it's not that I just rubber stamp with everything. I mean, Linda knows me well enough to know I don't do that. But I know she has to run the elections here. And there are some things longer term I would like us to be looking at. I think there may be systems with open source software. I think it'd be a good idea to go to that. It may be that there might be a public accounting software that is available someday and certified and tested. I don't think we're at that stage now, but I know there are people working on that, and I'd like us to, in the future, seriously examine that. But I understand what Mr. Halicki is saying here, which is that they have to get moving on an election for which they are responsible for. It'd be easy for me to say, even in spite of any questions, well, we'll just keep on delaying this, but I know that Linda and Nancy and Tom, at the end of the day, will have to be able to put on an election. And I don't think it would be fair for me, unless I've really heard compelling evidence otherwise, not to allow them to go ahead with the system they've selected. I certainly I would like to see the contract. I don't see anything wrong with putting our contracts out publicly so that people can see them. But at this point, I feel that I haven't heard anything, or I haven't been presented with an alternative here that seems better than what the clerk is presenting. And I do give deference to other elected officials who all of the voters of Boulder County have elected and have entrusted with putting on elections to give her the tools to do the job that needs to be done, because the alternative for me through just vetoing this, I think, would be to throw chaos into the process here. So I will be supporting this. That doesn't mean, you know, there aren't things I think in the future that we could be doing to take into account, and I think Paul has mentioned some of the really good comments that have been made here. And to incorporate them in the future.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you where I'm coming from on it. If I had my druthers and I felt it was physically possible, I would do a hand count. And it, not so much because of absence of confidence in the HART system, but because I do think it's important that the integrity of the process be preserved, and because of the limitations that state law slaps on it. The problem is, I don't think it's practical to do a hand count in the general election. And that's just, you know, it's just one last difficulty that stems from growth in the size of the county. Might have been possible even 50 years ago. I don't think it's possible today. I think that when we're left with, you know, what the system is, I have to compare, and what I defer to the county clerk on is the recommendation of the system, and does it have any things which were complete showstoppers to me? DREs would have been complete showstoppers. We do have a paper ballot that comes out of this. That preserves the option of a hand count. And I suspect at this point, if we got a Gore versus Bush sort of situation around here, a judge or a court would have the option of ordering one. That may depend on just what the chaos in the streets are, frankly, but that's a different story. But the point is, that option is there. The thing which convinces me with some reluctance to go forward is that I find this particular form of computerized voting to be a improvement over the one we were using, and in some respects a fairly dramatic one.
the fact that we're digitizing images of the ballot and allowing those images to be examined in a much more public way does not provide perfect safety, but it does provide a major step forward. It's also important to recognize that for the number of the potential for fraud that can be worked into the black boxes, that also has to be compared with potentials for fraud that can be worked into the alternative, which would be a hand count. And after 200 years of voting experience in the United States, we know what some of those are. We can give anecdotal stories. One of the anecdotal stories that are important in terms of the computerized systems were the ones we just heard about in Orange County with their DREs. Well, let me give you one that stems from, I heard of it in 1965 when I took a course from the late Dayton McKean, who at one point was the head of the political science department at CU and probably has forgotten more about American elections than any of us will ever know. He had some experience in Kansas City where he came from, and he told how the Pendergast machine used to steal elections involving paper ballots, and the way they did it was instructive. It was done at the point of counting, and it was done by the people who were doing the counting, and there was nothing very sophisticated about it. They put pencil leads under their fingernails, and when a ballot came in that they didn't like, they'd overvote it. And the overvoted ballots piled up. The only reason I bring that up is it is possible to mess with a hand count. And if you stop to think about it, sitting even here in, you know, 2004 in Boulder, Colorado, without a machine, but with 1,000 people counting ballots, think that's impossible? I don't think so. It's just one of many ways that that could be done. There are other ways that you can damage a ballot. I'm also thinking of the question of judges, and the thought that occurred to me when we talked about hand counting is saying, well, one way, you know, sort of the scenario that played out in my mind is, well, one way that you could guarantee a fair election if you were hand counting it would be to bring in judges from some other district, you know, maybe even out of state people. Maybe people who Americans look up to and trust. So maybe we could have our election counted by former President Clinton and former President Bush in 2012. Would that make you more comfortable than counting it by running them through a machine? In other words, the point is a black box with the uncertainty of that necessarily less confidence building or more confidence building than the uncertainties that come in having human beings do it? And I think the point I'm trying to make is it's not a slam dunk judgment. That said, we don't get a perfect election here, but probably the most important thing when dealing with an imperfect world is what are the opportunities for robust error recovery? And I think the system that we're about to purchase has warts. I'm not comfortable with all of it, and frankly, the piece I'm least comfortable with is the ballot on demand part. In the rough and tumble of an election, that strikes me as a way of introducing error. It also strikes me as a weak link where fraud could take place. And I don't mind telling you, I'm really uncomfortable with that, almost to the point of not wanting to do it the first time out when a bunch of other new stuff is going to be involved. We can discuss that in a moment, but even with the warts, I think this system is a major improvement on the one that we were using. And the gravest weakness of it, which is where state law has precluded robust error recovery, is something that can be corrected by the legislature if the people of Colorado in their wisdom are, can be, and their representatives can be made aware of what the problem is and get them to focus on it and think about it. I don't think it's been created as a deliberate problem. That said, I'm going to support this system, but I would like to discuss this with the two of you of whether or not we should use ballot on demand as part of it this cycle.
Well, I don't mind the ballot on demand because people are going to be coming in and you're going to have to be giving them a ballot anyway. And, you know, to me there's as much chance for error by giving someone the wrong ballot out of a pile as there would be in having the computer direct the precinct number over to the printer and the printer then prints the appropriate ballot. So if it were happening out in 100 precincts like it was happening in Orange County, I think that's a prescription for disaster. I think if it's happening with trained staff at centralized locations, which is what you're talking about doing, it's fine.
And at the last election, we had hundreds and hundreds of boxes in a room with the various ballot styles, and at the end of the day, we would pull the voter information, and then we would manually go and pull ballots from boxes for the voter.
Did you have errors?
Yes, we did.
Did you tally how many?
What we would do is, before we would initially give or mail out the ballot, we would go, because Tom and I were the only two allowed to pull ballots. So at the end of the day, Tom and I would work with Gloria Calloway, who handled the information, tracking the information, would tell us what ballot styles we would go, and then we would have to go back and re-verify, and we would re-verify. But, I mean, when you're going into this small room with ballots and you're trying to get in between and you're trying to get ballots, and you have the various ballot numbers, which are 10 digits numbers, very, very difficult to find and look.
It also created a great deal of frustration on the part of some of the voters who weren't willing to wait the hour plus. And in fact, what we have left in our office in the sealed room, there are ballots that people just simply gave up in frustration and didn't come and pick up their ballots.
So this can be pretty immediate.
What happened is, because Tom and I were both running around working on election things, we weren't able to be standing there and pull ballots as they came in. So we would have to tell them, could you come back tomorrow? And a lot of people then, of course, did not come back and pick up their ballot. This would allow us to more readily provide the ballots in a timely manner.
Okay. Yeah, I can remember the election, I don't know if it was 98 or 2000, where it was the Lafayette precinct, where people were getting the wrong ballots. I know it affected, well, I don't know if that affected, but it involved a state house race, at least two.
That were close.
That weren't that far off. There's an old saying that the perfect is the enemy of the good. And I think what's being proposed here, using very trained staff in a few locations to dispense ballots, you have to say, how does that compare to something else? And I think that, in this case, on balance, it makes the most sense to do that.
Mr. Chair, are you ready for a motion?
I am.
I would move that we award the bid to Hart InterCivic Ballot, now the digital ballot imaging system. And I would note that at our 10:30 business meeting, which will be a little beyond 10:30, we have an item number 5. That's the supplemental request for the money to do this. And the only thing I'd say is that I think we need to have some discussion then about the contingency issue. And I do know that the price has gone up, but frankly, I think the price has gone up for because we asked for the price to go up. We wanted more of these systems available so the ballots could be counted more quickly. And I think that's appropriate. So I'd move this.
Just so I know what...
I moved the purchase of the Hart InterCivic Ballot, now digital ballot imaging system.
I would second that.
Okay.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Passes unanimously. We'll take a 5-minute break.
Commissioner Danish, just to let you all know, the legislative update has been canceled.
Oh, good.
Yes, ma'am.